Let's talk about something that scares a lot of people. The Holy Spirit. Some people get scared by that. My daughter has a car, and I had to go for a ride with her one time. That scared me. And I got in her car, and I said, "Skye, do you hear that noise?" She said, "No, not really." I said, "You don't hear that noise. There's something wrong with your car." I said, "How can you not hear that noise?" She says, "Well, I turned the radio up louder so I don't have to hear it." Like, that's going to fix it. And so she turned the radio up louder. And so I think that sometimes I've done that so I don't have to hear the Holy Spirit talking to me. I hear this voice in my heart and in my head telling me do this or do that. And I turn the radio up. I turn the radio up. I don't want to hear that. It's just scary a little bit. I mean, people are really, really afraid of the Holy Spirit for some reason. Some people have embraced it. Some people just don't know what to think about it. So we're going to go back, and I'm going to actually do, don't tell anybody, it's going to be a series, though. We're going to talk about the Holy Spirit for a little while, and there's a lot to cover in it, and we're just going to talk about it. And Acts 2, 1 through 4 is where the Holy Spirit is introduced finally to all of us as people. In the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit always spoke through one person, a prophet, or different people as he saw fit. And then Jesus goes, "I can't wait to leave because I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit. Everybody can have it." And guess what men did? Screwed it up. Made it all scary. Oh my gosh. And then they even put the term Holy Ghost. I mean, it's like, if it wasn't bad enough as it was, we're going to talk about a ghost. But we want to look at Holy Spirit when it's called Pentecost. And it's really, it sounds like it's a fancy word, but it's really not. We'll look at Acts 2, 1 through 4. It says, "When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place, the disciples were. Suddenly, sounds like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them." Now, there were seven major feasts that were going on with the Israelites, and three of them, the major ones, were the Passover, Pentecost, and then the Feast of Tabernacles. Pentecost is really just a celebration of the giving of the law at Mount Sinai. I don't know why you'd want to celebrate that. But they do. They want to celebrate the giving of the law, and really, penta means five. Coste means 10 to the 10th power. So the grand scheme of Pentecost is 50. Woohoo! Now it's exciting because the Holy Spirit was poured out on everybody and it was given to us. And really, it's the 50 days after the Passover. And if you don't know what Passover is, you got to go back into Exodus and figure out what the Passover was, because it saved all the people who had the blood of the Lamb over the doorposts of their homes. And the spirit of death comes through. And if the blood of the Lamb was there, you were passed over. It's very simple. We try to complicate it, but it's not. So Acts 2 is really a fulfillment of Exodus 19. And so what's happening is the giving of the law happened in the Old Testament, and now the giving of the Spirit is happening here. And so we have Exodus 19, Acts 2. There's this fulfillment that's happening, and God writes these commandments on stone at the beginning, and now he says, "I'm going to write the commandments on your heart." Yes. Hallelujah. And so in Exodus 19, when Moses going up to the mountains to receive all the laws, it says that there was fire, there was smoke, there was loud sounds, and everybody was freaking out. It was crazy. And so they don't know what to do, what's going on. And then what happens is Moses goes, "I'll be back in just a little bit." Now, if I left here and said, "I'll be back in a little bit," what's your idea of a little bit? If I left here and I said, "I'm going to go get a word from God," wait right here. Don't go nowhere. Wait. Now, lunchtime hits. You're going, "He ain't back." You know, China walked going to get a lot of business, right? Because he said, "Wait." And so you go on about your business, and then we have to keep, when's James coming back? 1 day passes, 2 days passes, 3 days pass. Is he ever coming back? What happened to him? God ate him on the mountain. He went up there and he tricked them. 40 days pass. And in the meantime, they get tired of waiting. We know what we'll do. We're going to build ourselves. We're going to make ourselves a little golden calf, and we're going to worship it. Of all the things that you could make, a golden calf you're going to make, and we're going to worship that because he hasn't come back, and we don't know what to do. And out of all the things that you could think of to do, that's what they think to do. Bow down to this golden calf. Oh, you have saved us. After God took them through the Red Sea, after he struck a rock and water comes out, I'm going to worship a golden calf. I love what Moses did when he come back down. He ground it up, put it in the water, and said, now drink it. You filthy animals. You know, what are you thinking? And so they're waiting, and they're waiting, and they're waiting. And so 50 days, you know, and so as a result of this, what happens is about 3,000 people die. He sends the angel through the camp, and he says, that's it. I can't stand you guys. And he starts killing people. Well, then in Acts 2, which is mirroring Exodus 19, there's loud sounds going through the house. These tongues of fire that split up, land on these people. And all this stuff's confusion. And guess what happens that day a little bit later? About 3,000 people were added to the Lord. What a coincidence. What if it was the same people that died in the Old Testament? He brought them back. I don't know. Well, I don't know what. I just know what a coincidence that is. So 50 days after the Passover lamb is slaughtered, Jesus on the cross, 50 days, guess what happens? We get Pentecost. And everybody gets a chance to have the Holy Spirit. Well, I don't want the Holy Spirit. You better rethink that. You better rethink that. You're going to have him to get up there. It's like your ticket. But we're afraid of it. I get it. Because people have made it so crazy. If you have the Holy Spirit, you're going to have to kill snakes and stuff. You got to let it bite you. You got to do all these weird things that people have come up with. You gotta do all these weird things in order to make sure that you have the Holy Spirit. And they made it kind of weird. So people are all of a sudden just going, oh my gosh, I don't know. But think about it. What's more powerful, a set of rules or the Holy Spirit living in you? Let's think about that for a second. So why do we seem to have trouble with the Holy Spirit? I think it starts with the name. I think it starts with the name. You got the Father. I can understand the Father. We've got the Son. I can understand the Son. But then when you start getting into the ghost and stuff, I'm not really sure what's happening. I think people legitimately struggle with that. Why didn't God just give him a name? Why did it have to be the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost? Because I'm freaking out here. Why not just say the crazy cousin? Or the crazy uncle. I am the crazy uncle, if you ask my brothers. They know that I'm the crazy. Why not just say Uncle Spirit or something? I don't know. But you would have think it would make it just a little bit easier on that. So we're going to try and make the Holy Spirit relevant to us by showing you that he's a person. He is a person. He's not this force. He's not this power. He's a person that lives inside of you and inside of me. He's supposed to. And we're going to look at that a little bit. And so these are just references. Romans 8 says that the Spirit himself, now I don't know about that. That seems like a person to me. And says the mind of the Spirit. Well, people have minds. And then in John 14, 26 says, the Holy Spirit will teach. Well, you can't teach without a mind. John 16, 13, he will guide you. He will speak. And then 1 Corinthians 12 says that he distributes the gifts as he determines. So we're finding out that he's a person. He's not something to be feared. He's actually given to us so that he can guide, comfort, teach, show us things, speak to us the very heart of Christ. He speaks to us. And what do? I'm turning up the radio. Because I'm not really, and we make it even harder because we're like, well, I'm not sure if that was God or not. Okay, you're not sure if God told you to hate that person. That's pretty simple. Most of it's very simple. Well, but James, I don't know. I was at Lowe's, and God told me to tell the clerk there that he loves them. I think it was Satan. You know, I mean, it's pretty simple. Most of that is very simple. I'm afraid of looking silly, though. I'm afraid of looking silly. I'm going to go up there and I'm going to talk to this person and I'm afraid that it's going to make me look goofy. But how silly is that, though? I'm afraid to go tell somebody, did you know that God loves you? Get out of here, you weirdo. You're one of those Jesus freaks, aren't you? Can I pray for you? No. No. I've never had a person yet tell me, get out of here, weirdo. Get out of here. And so here we have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and we've got this, they call it the Trinity. And let me tell you something, they all three existed before time. In Genesis 1:1, it says that in the beginning, God created. So there was God, and the Spirit was hovering over the waters. Well, where was Jesus, mister? We know he was invented in the New Testament. No, he wasn't. In John 1:1, it says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then in verse 14, it says that the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. That means Jesus was there with them all at the beginning. They were all three there. Now, how does the Trinity work? I have no stinking idea. And quite honestly, I don't care. I just know it does. I'm not going to understand everything. And in John, he says very clearly, he says, well, actually, I think it was in Corinthians, that he's going, I'm going to be fully known and I will fully know. When they gets to heaven, I'm going, do you have questions for God? Holy moly. I got all these questions and I'm like, God's going to be very busy in heaven because I've got a list. And I think God already beat us to the punch. He said, you're going to fully know. So once I get up there, all these questions, I'm going to be, oh, that's what you meant. I was way off. He goes, yeah, and you even said it from the pulpit. You're a weirdo. And you was way off. And so here he is, and he's telling us all this stuff, and we're going to finally fully know at one point and be fully known by God. It's going to be absolutely wonderful. All three of them were at Jesus' baptism, if you can recall that. Jesus is obviously there because of his baptism. It says the Holy Spirit lighted on him, looked like a dove, and landed on him. And then you had God speaking, saying, this is my Son, whom I love, with him I'm well pleased. They were all three there together. But like I said, how does it work? I really honestly don't know, and I just don't want to know. I'm okay with that. That's what makes it the mystery. That's what makes it awesome to me. I just don't want to know. There's some certain things that my kids would tell me, and I was like, I'd rather not know that. I mean, my youngest daughter, she'll just tell you anything. And it's like, I'm your dad, you know that? You know, I mean, that's no. I don't want to hear that ever again. But Dad, I'm so glad I can talk to you. Yeah, and there's women you can talk to for that kind of stuff. And so the Holy Spirit has authority. I want to read something to you out of Acts a little bit later in 16, verse 6 and 7. Well, there's some crazy names in here. If I screw up the name, I don't care. But Paul and his companions traveled throughout the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. When they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. Now, everybody would think that's Satan. Think what the Holy Spirit said you can't do. The Holy Spirit stopped them from preaching the word of God in Asia. The Holy Spirit did it, not the devil. How many times do I give credit to the devil and God's going, I'm trying to do something in you. It's me. Stop it. It's me doing this in you. Oh, that devil's after me. And God's going, no, I control the devil. I make him do my bidding. He did it with Peter. He says, hey, Peter, I got something to tell you. Satan asked to sift you, and I'm going to let him. Well, everybody knows you don't talk to Satan, God. That's just crazy. And you're going to let him? He goes, yeah, but I prayed for you. Don't worry about it. You're just going to go through the worst time of your whole life. You're going to go out and weep bitterly like you've never wept before. But then I'm going to use you. It's going to be great. All except the part where you said that you're going to let Satan sift me. I don't understand that part. But the point is that he didn't allow them to go in there. He has authority straight from God, straight from Jesus. They all are in the same, they have the same mind. So you got the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit who are acting as one. Then the Holy Spirit has emotions. This may be one of the most misunderstood, misquoted passages in all the Bible of Ephesians 4:30. Ephesians 4:30 says this, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Don't grieve him. What does that even mean, quite honestly? What does it mean to grieve the Holy Spirit? Because if the Holy Spirit's following me around all day, he's going to be grieved at every point of the day nearly. And I feel bad for the Holy Spirit because he's got to have to be on some kind of medications from being in depression because we all stink. So we have the Holy Spirit who's right there, kind of says right there that we're sealed with for the day of redemption. I hope you have the Holy Spirit then. But if I'm grieving the Holy Spirit all the time, then how sad is the Holy Spirit? It has to be something different. So what does it mean to grieve? I'll tell you what I've seen lately. The grief, when you grieve when there's a loss of relationship, there's a grieving period that happens when you lose relationship, and the Holy Spirit grieves when we move away from relationship with him. So the Holy Spirit isn't going anywhere, but I've also learned that you can be in close proximity to someone and still be miles away. We do it as married couples all the time. We're close to them, and yet at the same time, we could seem so far away. So what grieves the Holy Spirit? Well, if we read on, he kind of tells us what it is. Other than that, we might just go, everything does. Everything grieves the Holy Spirit. But as we read on in there, it says, get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. So he says, hey, listen, bitterness separates you from me. When you get bitter, and that word there, bitterness, is actually poison, where you poison yourself. That would make an episode of Matlock, wouldn't it? The guy poisoned himself. But that's what bitterness does. It poisons yourself when you get bitter. And then you become a completely different person because you have now separated yourself from the Holy Spirit. And you've grieved him in that way. And he's going, I can help you with that. What about rage? That's an indignation that's not righteous, an unrighteous indignation. What about anger? It's a violent type of anger. That doesn't help anybody. These types of things, he's saying, is what grieves the Holy Spirit and moves us away from him. What about brawling? Out of control, shouting, or confusion. What about slander? That's the evil speaking, especially against God. And malice, every form of malice, is every form of moral corruption. These types of things move us away from our relationship with the Holy Spirit, even though he's still right next to you. And you'll have a hard time listening and hearing because of all the noise of all that junk. And then he goes on to say, but there are some things that moves us closer to him. One of them is kindness. He said, that's their generosity towards each other. The next one is compassion. And that means a tender-hearted and sympathetic attitude toward each other. And then the last one is forgiveness. And this is a different forgiveness than the one we find in the Lord's Prayer. This forgiveness means pardon or rescue. What if we were treating each other generously, tenderheartedly, sympathetically, and we were pardoning each other and rescuing one another? He says, then we're really close to the Holy Spirit and he can really move through you. at that point. And you'll be able to hear him clearer because you have turned down the noise. You have turned it down. So the Holy Spirit is really a must-have. We've got to have him. I'm going to show you. In 2 Corinthians 1:22 and 5:5, it says that the Holy Spirit is given to each of us as a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance. Something to think about, isn't it? The Holy Spirit is given to each of us as a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance. I want the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 1, 13 and 14 says this. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. It says, when you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who was a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance. You were sealed with the Holy Spirit the moment you believed. And people come up with these cockamamie stories that you have to do this and this and this and this and this in order to get the Holy Spirit. Why would he make it hard? He says in John, if you want the Holy Spirit, just ask me and I'll give it to you. And he says, when we believe here, that we get the Holy Spirit. That's pretty special. Maybe you've never had that experience of just saying, I've never thought of that. I accept the Holy Spirit as a part of my life. Done. You have him. Well, but I didn't feel nothing. I didn't do some kind of spiritual interpretive dance or nothing. I hope you don't. Not here. I mean, we kind of be like all weirded out a little bit. You know, I mean, just might be fun. No, I mean, if someone feels like they want to try, they can go for it. I'm going to bring the band up as I close this out. But the Holy Spirit is the deposit. You know what that word means? Earnest. Like earnest money. When you're serious about buying a piece of property or buying something and you put down earnest money, that's when they know you're serious. That's when they know you're serious. And that's what God has done for us. He says, we know where God is. He's up there, right? He's on the throne. Well, where's Jesus, apparently? Right beside him. At the right hand of God. And so he goes, we're up here. We're pretty busy. So I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit so that you're going to know my mind and my heart on anything that you ever need to know about, especially how I feel about you. We can know the mind of God because we have the Holy Spirit. The word for Holy Spirit is paraclete. And para means alongside. Like a parable is alongside the truth. So as long as we look at these parables and we don't understand it, guess what you need to do? Start asking the Holy Spirit to show you what truth is in there for you. A parable alongside the truth. Cleat is one who is called or invited by God. So the Holy Spirit is called and invited by God to walk alongside of you. You will never, ever be alone. Even if you feel abandoned, even if you feel like he's not there, you will never, ever be alone. The Holy Spirit is not something to be feared, to be afraid of. It's something to be embraced. Thank you, God, for your Spirit that you poured out on us so that we can know your mind, so that we can know who you are. And I want him to walk alongside of me. I need him to. I'm going to close with 2 Corinthians 13:14 says, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. That was his last sentence to the Corinthians. The grace of the Lord Jesus, the love of God. And then he puts a weird word in there for the Holy Spirit, the fellowship, the relationship of the Holy Spirit. May he be with you all. That was the last words he wrote down to them. I want fellowship with the Holy Spirit. I want relationship with the Holy Spirit. And as we've been closing out and everything, Romans 10:9 is the way we get to know. We get to receive the Holy Spirit by believing this, that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. and He will give you the Holy Spirit. During our last song, we have special people that feel like their prayer is their ministry. And they'll be up here during the last song. If you want prayer for you, for somebody else, for whatever it may be, don't be afraid to ask it. They'll be up here after the service as well. Don't be afraid to get some prayer. And they can help you understand that you can have the Holy Spirit with you starting today. And you may just be realizing, He's been with me the whole time. I've been ignoring His voice. Turn down the radio. Have a good listen. And let Him know that you recognize His presence with you. Move toward Him. Let's pray. Lord, thank You so much for the way that You take care of us, the way that You heal broken hearts. That we're never, ever, ever alone. That You have given each one of us part of Yourself to help us on this journey to get back to You. And You are faithful even when we're not. So Lord, thank You that even in the midst of difficult times, we can just say it's well with our soul. So we love You, Lord, and we thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you please stand for our last song?
When peace